The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate it, however you're taking us in this morning. It's A Numbers Game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Live from Bar Canada at the D, struggling with apps in Nevada, just getting a bet in right before the show. Well done.
Thanks, timed
it perfectly. Let me tell you something about the MGM app. Can we just talk about the MGM?
Oh, it's always an experience.
Used to be a proud sponsor of the show, and I hope one day they'll be a proud sponsor of the show again. But I'll tell you this. That app, oh my God. I have to delete it completely from my phone now and re-upload it to make a wager.
Yeah, it's silly. I don't know what's going on with that one recently.
All right.
But, I mean, we could go on and on. None of them are perfect.
That'll be a theme throughout. We got a lot to get to on the show. Not only NBA playoffs with Drew Dinsick and the NFL draft with Drew Dinsick coming up. We have added our own NFL draft bets, which we'll get to here momentarily. It's pretty much draft and NBA focus today. Though,
gotta update that Guardians bet, if you know what I mean. Looking pretty good here in the middle of April. Don't want to get too ahead of ourselves.
But we'll go through that. We've got a whole bunch to get to. Let me just really start, though, again with VSiN.com/picks. Every host on this network, every guest, any sport, they're all at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. And when it comes to tennis, as you know, when we were doing hard court season, most of it or much of it was here in the United States, so I could give out the plays on the show before they actually happened. But now that most of the clay court tournaments, not most, all are in Europe, some of the matches are going to start before the show, some are going to happen during the show, some are going to be after. We hit a plus 210 dog overnight on João Fonseca against Lorenzo Sonego. Hope everybody got in on that. We do have two ladies matches that have yet to begin. The Egyptian Mayar Sharif will begin the match sometime during the show against Yuan Yue, who is a player that a Chinese player who we played a lot on hard courts and won with. But now on this surface, Sharif is the clay court specialist. It's not Yuan's favorite. We got Sharif at plus 110, but here's the deal. She is now in minus money, and this has moved about 30 cents. So I'm not, depending on where you can find it, if you can play it anywhere below or minus 110 or below, maybe a couple pennies above that, I would play it. But if it's minus 120 or minus 125, I would not play it. And then Yelena Ostapenko a little later on got in really short plus money. She's at about minus 120, but same thing applies to her. If you can get her at like minus 110 or below, I would play it on Yelena Ostapenko going up against Linda Noskova. So the clay court numbers, at the hard court season was spectacular. We're back up to 26 units up, so clay has been sort of spinning the wheels, but we got back to our season high with the Fonseca win overnight. Hopefully the clay court numbers that are now manifesting on the men's side will manifest on the women's side. I have no reason to believe that it won't, but we shall see here with Sharif and Ostapenko. All right, NFL draft, Kelly. Let's put it this way. I made a conservative bet early. Yesterday, I made the sort of friskier bets,
Ooh. And
I plan on making more conservative bets starting today so that if my frisky bets just turn out to be crap, then I can still turn a profit.
Okay.
So first bet I made was at Stations. And by the way, shout out to Stations here in town. They were the first book to put up NFL draft props. They did it weeks, plural, ago. They take a bet beyond what others take. Caesars and Circa have capped your bets to this point. Stations does not. I made the bet on the Jaguars picking a cornerback in the first round. Picking a cornerback with their first pick, in other words, cornerback. Every mock draft, literally 100% of mock drafts that I've seen, have the Jaguars taking one cornerback or another with their pick at 17. Good trades bust that up? Sure. Trades are the problem with the frisky bets that I made yesterday, which are revolved around two things that are conventional wisdom, mock draft wisdom, consensus right now, unlikely to happen. So what I did is I have stuck with the Jim Harbaugh. I believe that I need to draft a offensive lineman as a cornerstone of a franchise theme. And I bet Joe Alt to be the number 5 pick in the draft at plus 450. Now, I've contended here, well, ever since we've talked about this, that Harbaugh has said this, and that while he is praising J.J. McCarthy, ultimately, if they keep the pick, they will go offensive line. Now, most folks have Joe Alt going to the Titans at 7. If a trade happens with the Chargers out of 5, I'm screwed right on that one immediately right off the bat. That's why he's plus 450. But I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with Jim Harbaugh's thoughts. And I took Alt, the number 5 pick, at plus 450. I took Roma Dunze as the 6th pick at plus 325. This was a Chris Felica-focused thought where he said he had some intel that the Giants are really focused on Roma Dunze at number 6. So those are the frisky bets. And by the way, then I went to Circa released theirs yesterday. They have Roma Dunze draft position under 8.5. I actually have a worse number that I got yesterday that is available right now. I got that at minus 170, the hope being that he either goes to the Giants at 6 or someone decides to pick him prior to the number 8 pick, either who's there already or will do so via trade. So those are, again, the Jaguars is the conservative bet. The Alt and Adunze plays are the more risky ones. And then I believe what my strategy will be here today or tomorrow, Kelly, is that position of Jaguars bet, I may add more to it. By the way, I was allowed to bet more on that than the less conservative ones. And I have my eyes focused on a couple other things, specifically Dallas Turner at number 8 to Atlanta. Some variation. I don't know what prop is going to be best in town, but I'll sort of do a cross check for every book that, by the way, we have 6 books that are offering NFL drafts. Circa joined yesterday. Stations was the first. So some combination of adding to the Jaguars cornerback, Dallas Turner going at 8, bets focused around that, and one more that I'm going to ask you about later because it's a deeper dive.
I like it. Yeah, the Dallas Turner bet, I made that last week, I believe. So number 8 pick for him, plus 320, I was able to get on that. Seeing at Circa here, though, Circa, they posted a ton of player draft positions, which is awesome because you're not getting these almost anywhere else.
Yeah.
I think what I would play there, I played him number 8 at plus 320 and then a top 10 pick at minus 115, but I'm looking right here. And they've got him under 9.5 at plus money, so at plus 160 under 9.5 on Dallas Turner. So that's probably a good bet. Might be adding a little bit more to that position. Okay, I've got, yeah, early bets I made. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals, not 4th overall pick, but to the Cardinals, because that was one of the first markets up. Grab that minus 170. You and I will be going a little bit head-to-head on that number 5 pick because I do have Malik Nabers there. But
and we both could be wrong.
We both could be wrong. You and I were texting about this yesterday. Like, I think it's very possible that you're talking about the, you know, 3, 4, 5, all looking to trade out, right? Patriots, Cardinals, Chargers.
And if that happens, and I think that's the macro thing that I want to say about this draft, I think we all have a sense that Caleb Williams is going 1, and probably Jaden Daniels at 2. Some people think Drake May.
I wish I would have bet Daniels at 2. I think he's going 2.
But I think the trouble begins, right? Right after that, and then sort of, for lack of a better word, re-solidifies afterwards.
I agree.
And yeah. I think that the reason that I'm getting the big plus money on the Alts and the Odunzes is because it's so confusing there. And no one really knows. No one has any sense of what's going to happen. And those trades will blow up everything.
Yeah. I'm with you, though. I mean, on 5, if it's still the Chargers, it's wide receiver or offensive line.
Got to be.
Like, I do think that. So I think one of us is winning, probably.
Well, yeah. Unless, of course, then they go with Dunze, and then we both circled around it, and none of us won it.
Yeah. I still think it's Nabers ahead of a Dunze, but who knows? There's so many good wide receivers in this draft class. Actually, I added over 6.5 wide receivers this morning at plus 190 in the first round.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, almost 2-1. That number's worth it for me to bet. I think there's a ton that every you're talking about mocks. I feel like every mock I see in the first round, there's a new wide receiver in there from someone that I haven't seen in any other mock draft. Like, it's just incredible. Like, the I saw yesterday, like, the second kid on Washington being thrown in there at the end of the first round. There's, like, multiple college teams that got two wide receivers going. It's incredible.
And for those who have just landed on this show for the first time, it's sort of like, with my bets, I sort of, hearkening back to the old anti-drug campaign commercial, baseball is my brain, tennis is my brain on crack, and this is, the NFL draft is some other kind of drug.
Right, yeah. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, the only other things I bet then, I just grabbed those quarterback bets as soon as they were posted here in town. So over, I wish I would have hammered the over a lot heavier than I did, and even money, because that's way high now. And
spoiler
then,
alert, this is what I'm going to ask you about later.
Okay. And then under 4.5 at plus money, so I've got a little free roll on that one. Dallas Turner, 8th, I said already, plus 320, top 10 pick, minus 115. And then this morning added over 6.5 wide receivers, plus 190. And Keon Coleman, my guy, under 46.5 right here at Circa on a draft position.
Keon Coleman, who unbeknownst to him was playing exhibition football all of last year.
that's right.
CJ Stroud has chimed in on those. This is true. CJ Stroud has chimed in on those who are considering drafting his ex-teammate Marvin Harrison Jr., and who are supposedly wavering on whether or not to do that or considering other options. The CJ Stroud quote this morning was, "Don't be dumb." He's like, you got to be kidding me.
I kind of feel like I was never that guy, Gil, like for the past 2 years that was like, "Oh, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's the greatest thing on planet Earth." But like, I'm believing those kind of comments. You know what I mean?
Like, that's how I feel about Odunze. Like, every time you watched him, was there any thought other than this guy is awesome?
You know, no. I'm saying I didn't have that necessarily when I watched Marvin Harrison, right. But I'm listening to people that are like, "Don't be an idiot. He's the clear-cut number one."
Trust in the evaluators. Yeah. Drew Dinsick's got thoughts. NBA and NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter,
the NBA playoffs betting primer is here. Zach Cohen, JVT, myself, break it all down for you. Get set for the NBA playoffs. That and more.
Let's go. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. No chance for small talk. Too much to talk about with Drew Dinsick. He is the co-host, of course, of not only the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor, Dinsick Classic, but also New Dinsick, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with Jay Croucher, @whale_capper on Twitter. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Let me just start here, Drew. How smug are you right now that you're going to win your Gobert Defensive Player of the Year award? It's going to come home for you, isn't it?
I think so, but not very smug at all, man. I've been just eating humble pie for going on a month and a half now. I just took an absolute bath in the Masters. I finally capitulated and kind of gave up the ghost that the Thunder were going to win the one seed and bought all of this Nuggets to win the Northwest, and then they lose to the Spurs in a collapse in the fourth quarter on Friday, and I was just like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I could go on and on. There are so many examples of the way things kind of broke against me. If the Magic had choked that seemingly insurmountable lead to the Heat in the Southeast, I would have been I need to take a serious break.
Yeah, well, I will say this, that Spurs-Nuggets finish might have been the most unlikely, given the stakes, right, that the Nuggets had, maybe it was the most unlikely stretch of basketball of the entire season. So you can't be blamed necessarily for that. Let us begin with the play-in games. Western Conference play-ins tonight, Eastern Conference play-ins tomorrow. Tonight we have the 7-8 between the Lakers and the Pelicans, where the Pelicans are 1.5-point favorites. And then we got the 9-10, where the Warriors on the road, 2-point favorites at Sacramento. Any thoughts or bets on these?
Yeah, so I will say that the later game is the easier one to just kind of file for now, because I think those are pretty much perfect numbers. They opened that total about 4 points too high, and it's adjusted to almost exactly where my fare is. So I'm pretty fine with Warriors small favorites total in the low 220s. The opening game that will give you a date with destiny here, a win puts you directly in the crosshairs of the mighty Nuggets. Yeah, I'm surprised that the Lakers don't have as much support as they did on Sunday. That was one of the more interesting kind of individual game markets on Sunday, where you know, you saw them head into New Orleans, and you know, the stakes were pretty high for New Orleans in that game, obviously. And the Lakers got bet aggressively into the close, and they ultimately, you know, kind of won going away. And if you, you know, I've been paying attention to Lakers and Pelicans a lot down the stretch here, just because of various, you know, random bets. And I wasn't surprised to see the Lakers have so much support in that market. And I actually thought this game was going to come in closer to a pick'em, and you know, opening betting kind of suggested that, but there's been late Pelican support here. And you know, I can make a very soft argument for why a Pelicans number might be a little bit appealing to people. Like if you're using the season long sample where Brandon Ingram was fully available for this team, and you basically had this roster, like, yeah, their power rating was better than the Lakers. They have the home court. Like, you know, there are definitely ways to get to a fair where the Pelicans are small favorites here. But I personally think that the Lakers, and the way that, particularly the way that that supporting cast is playing right now, and the fact that you have you know, your key players peaking at the right time, this is a bad matchup for New Orleans. And New Orleans is a little bit of a flawed team. They're a little bit of a solvable team, because they really just, they have some structural flaws with the way that they have to use Zion Williamson. And I think ultimately the matchup that the Lakers bring to the table with, you know, kind of anchoring that defense on Anthony Davis is pretty perfect to stop these guys. And it's going to take, you know, a positive shooting performance from the likes of the Trey Murphys of the world. And, you know, you're going to need, you know, Herb Jones to just completely and totally take D'Angelo Russell out of this game if the Pelicans think they're going to get a win here. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all if we see a lot more of like a repeat of what we saw on Sunday.
Nothing on the Dubs and the Kings? Nothing tonight?
Yes. Well, I have under, but it's not at current market.
Okay. Okay.
Right. I'm holding under 226. I don't think this was I don't really understand how that one got there, right? So this is a rematch, obviously, of last year's you know, first round playoff series, and that was a really, really fun series in so many ways. But that was a full strength Sacramento Kings team, and in general, it was just a kind of a wide open, just offensive series to start, and then kind of wound down in possessions as they kind of figured each other out. And I was expecting this one to kind of open in the 222 range, and opened at 228.5. That's one of the bigger misses I can remember in any kind of like high stakes market like this. So yeah, I'm holding some pretty significant under here. I hope it's a close game. I hope the fourth quarter kind of slows down a little bit. And just in general, without the firepower of Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, the Kings have had to pivot to being a more defensive minded team. When they do kind of let things go and just kind of have a little bit more offensive flow, their defense, and particularly in transition, is just completely havable. And so, you know, for the most part, they've tried to slow things down, and they've tried to just in general get a little bit more defensive coherence, and it's not really working especially well. And I think the Warriors, particularly with, you know, Curry and Draymond kind of anchoring offense and defense, is going to be a tough thing for Sacramento to handle in this one. And ultimately, I think Golden State is a small favorite, makes sense to me, but I wouldn't go and, you know, go nuts and lay the points here with Golden State. I think they're going to come through, but I think it'll be a competitive game.
Real quick, because we won't have a chance to talk to you beforehand. Tomorrow night's the Eastern Conference play-ins. 7-8 Sixers Heat with the Sixers favored by 4.5, then the 9-10 between the Bulls and the Hawks with the Bulls favored by 3.
Yeah, I think the number in Miami Philly is right. 4.5 is where I would be at. I played some under there as well, and that's still kind of in range. It's a 206.5 right now. I bet into 207.5. I'm just not exactly sure what you're going to see from the Miami bench unit in that one. That's kind of the deciding factor, as far as I could tell you. The Sixers starters have such a clear and obvious advantage over the Miami starters that, you know, kind of expecting the Sixers to get out to a decent lead, maybe playing Sixers first quarter -1.5 is kind of in the cards here for me. But I think, you know, Philadelphia could take advantage of their matchups when Embiid is on the floor. And I think Miami's going to really, really need their bench unit to step up to make this game competitive. I think they played on April 4th, and that was really kind of the tail of the tape there. Like the the bench unit kind of anchored by Kevin Love were able to kind of claw back some pretty aggressive deficits and make that a competitive game. And I think that's pretty much where Miami sits in this one. Their best case scenario, can Miami win? Yes. If they're within a bucket and, Jimmy puts his cape on in the fourth quarter, can they steal this one? Absolutely. Like, there are definitely still some questions about a lot of what Philadelphia is trying to do offensively. Particularly an end of game that they didn't get a chance to work out because they just didn't have a beat available for the whole second half of the season. And I think ultimately Miami could find a way to steal, but they're going to have to be close, which means the bench is going to have to close gaps. And so I think kind of watching those minutes, particularly in the first half, and kind of gauging whether Miami's up to the task is going to be kind of helpful for making a second half bet there.
Okay. Hawks, Bulls, nothing.
Hawks, Bulls, I played the over. 220 is kind of disrespectful. Atlanta's got a very, very, very capable offense and a very questionable defense. Chicago's players in general, like everybody that's in their closing five, I have huge questions about all of their defensive limitations. I really don't understand how this one's staying under 230, and that's probably the biggest edge on the board for me at current price.
Okay. I want to get to the four series that are already lined and that begin on Thursday night. Of the four, two on Thursday, scheduled two on Friday, of the four that exist, just so we can squeeze in one before the break, which is the one that you have the least thoughts and or bets on?
The least thoughts or bets. Ooh, probably the Magic and the Cavs. I don't think there's a case to be made for the dog there. It's pretty obvious, at least to me, that kind of the singular impact of a Donovan Mitchell in the series like that is going to be tough for the Magic to match. And the Magic's kind of struggle, their kind of stumble into the close was it was a tough hang. And the end of game high leverage moments where, basically they gave the ball to Paolo and said, "Hey man, go do something." And he would have a pretty obvious opportunities to drive, drove halfway down the lane, turned his back on the basket and looking around for anybody going to do anything? No. Okay. I'll just take a last second heave into the clock. It's kind of classic. Like, this stuff will doom you in the playoffs when you were watching it at the end of the regular season. And I don't think the Magic has solved anything. I think this is going to be pretty likely the Cavs to lose. And, close games will tilt in their favor because of Donovan Mitchell particularly. And then there definitely could be some games where the Cavs are just clicking, particularly at home, and the Magic can't answer.
All right. Cavaliers 4.5-point favorites in game one on Thursday in Cleveland. They are -185 series favorites, best of seven against the Magic. That's the 4-5 in the East. We'll get to the Suns and the T-Wolves and the Mavericks and the Clippers out West, and that Pacers-Bucks series as well. Plus Drew's NFL draft bets, what he's made, what he's looking for, how he feels about the draft, all of that. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, where the money does not match the public opinion. Then you can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Start making smarter bets today. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidelon, Drew Dinsick. At @whale_capper, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Once again, a deep dive podcast with Andy Molitor. And of course, Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Great podcast, the both of them. And Drew, let us start where we left off, because we do have some news where Woj is now reporting, Adrian Wojnarowski, that what was already a lot of doubt about whether Giannis could play in game one of this series against the Pacers for the Bucks, now it is official. Giannis is out of game one of this series for the Bucks against the Pacers, which begins on Friday. The Pacers are now, and I see it moving before our very eyes, the Pacers were a 1-point favorite when it first happened off air. Now they're a 1.5-point favorite in game one of this series.
Yeah. Good old fashioned price discovery. But I mean, this is late to the party. I don't know who honestly thought Giannis was going to, I guess I shouldn't say that. Like, Giannis is surprised, right? Like there, that title run, he had a hyperextended knee bone bruise thing at one point, and I remember being like, well, that's it for him. And he comes back two games later and was unbelievable. So he does have some kind of ability to play through, difficult injuries. I'm glad for his, future and potential entertainment value of these playoffs that he is sitting out this game, because, when the injury first happened, it was like, oh my gosh, Kevin Durant all over again. You got a guy that's been carrying the offensive load for a Bucks team for so much of the season, and it's, wears him down to the point where you have this non-contact cap thing, and it's like, man, that's the sign. Like that happens the next time, you push through this, you don't let it heal correctly, and it becomes an Achilles. And I don't want that to happen. I would much rather see a healthy and kind of effective Giannis at least give the Celtics, some sort of challenge in this Eastern Conference playoffs. But right now, I think it's pretty clear that, bets to be made were on the Pacers for the series, on the Pacers for game one, in the hopes that they can, at a minimum, take home court advantage away from the Bucks in the absence of Giannis. And I think that's a realistic expectation. This Pacers team is kind of given a little bit of a short shrift in the market. And, I think that this is common when you have a young team that hasn't played together in the playoffs and people just haven't seen it with their eyes. They don't realize that, that there are some pretty dynamic aspects to the offense in particular. And if you have a player like Tyrese Haliburton, who, people may be, I think, wildly underrating his potential effect on this series in particular, I think is kind of the key factor here. And why, this isn't even really a very complicated handicap. Tyrese Haliburton started the season as one of the top five players in the NBA, period. Like he was clearly taking a huge step forward in the months of October, November, December. He took the Pacers to the in-season tournament finals, and he was, he was specifically engineering offense. And like you could think back to, the semifinal game of the play-in tournament, of the in-season tournament, where they completely took apart the Bucks defense. And you say, okay, well, like, is that guy, is he still around? And yes, the answer is yes. He got hurt. He had a hamstring injury that caused him to miss a couple of weeks in the month of January, really threw some cold water on his season. He played through the injury as opposed to just resting so that he could be eligible for all NBA and awards. And because of that, like his data when he's playing through that injury was miserable. And it makes people kind of a little bit, I think, underestimate what his impact could be, particularly in this series. The Bucks have clear structural issues with their defense and their point of attack defense in particular. Haliburton is going to take advantage of that early and often in this series. And until and if Giannis comes back, I think the Pacers have a pretty clear advantage just heads up here as currently rostered. And so, happy to see the Pacers flip to favorites in this game one. I think they can win game one, and I think Giannis is unlikely to play game two. So they will probably open as favorites in game two. And if you, if they can, realize their potential and win those two games and take this thing 2-0 back to Indiana, I don't know what, Giannis is going to be able to do to save this thing. I think
series price is down everywhere, right? Like it shouldn't be up anywhere. I would imagine the series price at this point, I'm seeing it taken down.
Yeah,
I would expect. Yes. Yeah, I would expect.
Yeah, I would think so. Like, yeah. Game numbers move. And I'm interested to see. Yeah. I mean, Drew, what did this open at? Bucks like minus 250, something like that, 260? I mean, what is this going to get down to before game one starts?
I mean, probably, realistically, minus 140, maybe. I'm guessing, but people are probably digging in right now and really trying hard to figure out, like, at what point do we expect Giannis back? My guess, uninformed, you'll see him in game three. But they may be at a 0-2 disadvantage at that point. And if that's the case, then, your series price, why bet the Bucks now? like really, why bet the Bucks now, period, is kind of the real question. Yeah. Like, is there going to be resistance, right? Like you need to, if you're doing some old fashioned price discovery, which we'll get into with the draft prices in a minute, I'm assuming, I don't really know where you're finding resistance for a Bucks series price right now, except for the people who went swinging hard on Pacers out of the gate.
All right, Drew, you're going to have to stay for another segment. Yes, we can't fit it all in. Can you do that? Is that possible?
Sure.
All right. Let's go to the West. All right. Phoenix and Minnesota. When you and I were talking about, and Kelly, we were all talking about, like, what's the series you can't wait for in the playoffs from a price standpoint. Here we have a series where the T-Wolves are a 2-point favorite in game one on Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, but they are a series dog. We have one of these situations. How do you view the whole thing?
Yeah, interesting. Another interesting kind of rematch, right? We saw these teams play Sunday and the Suns took apart the T-Wolves. And then you're like, well, I mean, yeah, that's T-Wolves weren't playing for much. You look back in the series and yes, the Suns took apart the T-Wolves all three times they played them. That's not a good sign if you're a Timberwolves faithful. And I think ultimately the key for the Timberwolves is almost certainly they're going to have to come up with some wrinkles and changes to their defensive strategy to stop the Suns early in the series to protect home court. And then if they can take advantage of some of the Suns' issues defensively, particularly in game three or four, then the Timberwolves could end this thing in five. I think it's important for them to try to do that because the longer that this series goes, the more likely it is that you're really kind of playing with fire and that you're giving, you know, KD and the Suns an opportunity to turn this into ISO ball type of, you know, end of game is close. And in those situations, the Suns have a pretty clear advantage. And so if this gets to game six, I'm feeling very, very unfavorable as I'm holding a, if I would be holding a Timberwolves ticket, if we get to game seven, then you're in real, real deep trouble because the Timberwolves, they have some clunky offensive tendencies at times, and they're really counting on Anthony Edwards, who took a huge step forward this season to kind of be the guy, the kind of, you know, kind of guy that carries them in a playoff series. And that's possible offensively, particularly against the Suns team that doesn't defend especially well. And I think, I think the kind of the two kind of bimodal outcomes here are the Timberwolves defend home court, get one in Phoenix, and then end this thing early, or this series goes long. And in that case, it's advantage Suns. The fact that the Suns are small favorites is surprising to me because I think fundamentally, I think the game one price is correct and maybe even a little bit low on Minnesota. So if Minnesota, you know, defends home court here, particularly in game one, you're going to get a much, much cleaner crack at a Suns series price if that's what you're into. And honestly, I would say game two probably decides this thing one way or the other. If the Suns win that game, then, you know, it's on. And if Minnesota wins, then there's still a path for them to get this thing done early. So I don't think I'm ultimately going to take much action in this series either way. But I think ultimately I'm betting Timberwolves out of the gate here. They need to come up with ways to defend the intermediate zone, the long two. The Timberwolves give up those. That's like kind of the one hole in their defense, and that's the one strength of the Suns. But I think that's fixable. And I think just in general, Timberwolves are being a little bit underappreciated by market in this first game.
It's the same story in the 4-5, right? The Clippers with home court, 1.5-point favorites in game one, but a series dog to the Mavericks. Exact same situation.
Exact same situation with one huge caveat. The best player for the Clippers might not be 100%. He might not be good to go. I really do not love any of the kind of messaging that the Clippers are doing about the health and status of Mr. Kawhi Leonard. And if you look back at when were the Clippers their best this year, Kawhi Leonard was playing at an MVP level. He was a huge, huge reason why. And if this all of a sudden turns into the Harden and Paul George show against Luka, best of luck to the Clippers. I think ultimately the Mavericks are constructed as sort of the ideal playoff roster right now. I have huge positions on the Mavericks in this series, which kind of are in one way getting me off of, Western Conference and outright futures that I put on the Clippers in January when they were the best team in basketball. But yeah, the Mavericks look like the clearly better team, particularly if Kawhi is limited.
All right, we'll come back. We'll review specifically what Drew's bets are. We'll just list them, and then we'll move on to the NFL draft, get his thoughts on that. I assume you can stay, Drew.
Oh, sure.
Okay, just making sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Undefeated lifetime on that one still. The very poor radio form in-show ask. More with Drew on the other side. NBA and NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Nice. That's code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We'll get to tweets. We'll get to the Guardians bet. We'll get to a whole bunch of other stuff. I want to ask Kelly about a I'll ask Drew also while he's here about this NFL prop. But real quick, before we get into the NFL draft, can you just, so then just to clarify for folks, the bets you've made in games, in play-ins, in game ones, and in series thus far are listed?
Sure. So don't have a bet in Lakers Pelicans, but I think that should be closer to a pick. I do have an under in Warriors Kings, but the market has come with me. And right now I don't see a ton of edge on under 222 and a half. I think the Hawks Bulls over 220 is the bet of the week. And then Heat Sixers is going to be that one's going to be a fourth quarter under, I got a feeling. It is going to depend on the Heat keeping that one competitive. In the series price markets, I think the Cavs are correctly a heavy favorite over the Magic. I think the Suns Timberwolves is pretty dependent on the Suns getting a win early in that series. And I think Timberwolves are a bet in game one at minus two. I played them at minus two. I shouldn't say I think they are a bet. I did bet the Timberwolves. And then Pacers, Bucks. I'm holding Bucks. Obviously, I'm holding Pacers series price in the plus 200 range. I think that if you can get them at plus money, it's a fair play just because we're not going to see Giannis until game three. That's my guess, not inside knowledge. And I think Pacers kind of should be correctly the small favorite in game one. Biggest position series price wise for me is Mavericks. I bet them several times. I think they are better than the Clippers in pretty much every way. And I am very concerned that Kawhi Leonard is not going to be an especially effective piece of that series.
All right. Mavericks at minus 130 now, thereabouts on the series price. Okay. NFL draft. Let me start with the question. Then we'll get to what you've bet so far. But I want to start with this question about quarterbacks. That always garners the headlines. The numbers set at 4.5. Everybody has bet the over way up so that it's a prohibitive favorite. Have we gotten to the point where the under might represent value now, Drew? Like, are we 100% convinced that either Nix or Penix is going to go in the first round?
I'm not especially convinced to either of those guys. I'm also like, I'm a little, let's be totally candid here for a second. I do almost all of my betting offshore. I live in California. That's the geographic constraint that I'm stuck with. The offerings in terms of what you can bet in the draft offshore, particularly, and if you want to get bets of size, are effectively zero. Like there is no market for me to bet. If I wanted to bet the draft, I literally have to just call someone in a legal state who has just, you know, an unlocked account and try to get them to get down for me. And that's maybe where this ends up going, you know, for me, if I want to really have real deal skin in the draft this year. But so all that said, like, I would say that the market itself is still wildly immature. It's lacking, you know, much kind of information from the people who have kind of real deal, you know, money to put at stake in this thing. And so, I think, you know, it's still, things are pretty soft still. And my specific opinion on the quarterbacks, and this is maybe should be qualified by, because I can't really bet into this, I haven't really been working as hard. Right. Like I'm not doing this for fun.
Right.
Like I'm not going to waste my time like reading mock drafts if I can't actually like, you know, turn around and utilize that. So, yeah. I get the sense that there was a huge, huge kind of early momentum for quarterbacks in this market, you know, and just in the expectation of quarterbacks going at the top of this draft, particularly with the when the Vikings made that trade to acquire a second first round pick. People are like, well, there we go. Bang, bang, bang. Four quarterbacks right at the top. This is how this is going to go. And it's like, OK, well, that made sense to put the puzzle pieces together at that time. But the Vikings haven't made a trade. And, you know, you now have this situation where you're counting on the Patriots to take a quarterback if you want a quarterback run. You're counting on the Vikings trading up to 4 or 5 to take a quarterback if you want a quarterback run. And you're hoping that the likes of the Raiders or the Broncos is going to do something stupid and, you know, kind of wildly overdraft a quarterback if you want to get to 5. So, I'm just in general right now kind of a seller on all of the quarterback speculation. I think if you want to kind of put in pen Caleb Williams at the top, not stopping anyone. If you want to put in kind of heavy pencil Jaden Daniels at number two, I'm not going to stop you. But I think that's kind of where the certainty ends in terms of who's going to take a quarterback and at what price, you know, because all of the kind of connecting the dots for other quarterbacks required trades. And, you know, these, it hasn't happened, number one, and expecting it to happen on the fly when, you know, these teams are doing all their due diligence on the players that they think are going to be available in the range that they are currently slotted is, you know, it just makes kind of trading in the top 10. Like it's not that easy. You know, it's just, there's so much that has to go into it nowadays to have an agreement in principle, if not just, it just outright, like last year is a good example. Like the third overall pick got traded. And ultimately, there was a soft agreement in place before the draft even started that the Titans were going to move up to 3 to take CJ Stroud if he was available. But, you know, the Texans, of course, take Stroud 2. And then that made there be no trade partner for the Cardinals at 3. So the Texans came up to 3. Right. And like that, it was entirely like possible because they, you know, they had, you know, the specific things fell into place that way. And, you know, I think ultimately if there are soft agreements for certain players and those players are not available, then yeah, you could see this top 10 stay pretty static, in which case I think quarterbacks are sliding. And I'm kind of most intrigued by what the Vikings do, obviously, because it seems like they've pretty clearly kind of connected all of their, or at least, you know, all of the dots are connected to JJ McCarthy for whatever reason. I don't think it's crazy that he's just going to be available for them at 11. It's going to be, you know, kind of Patriots at 3 is where the fun starts. And I think all the fact that teams 3, 4, and 5 all have shown interest in trading down is notable.
I bring it up because that is how my thinking is right now. Like I've said it a million times on this show, teams justifiably get quarterback crazy on draft day. I get it. But I just have a feeling that when push comes to shove here, neither Nix nor Penix is going to get picked in the first round. And I, at least from a betting standpoint, I think the value has completely switched to the under here. And I smell a bet coming from me for sure on that. Did you bet anything thus far, though, given your, by the way, neither Kelly nor I clutched our pearls when you said that you were betting this offshore? I just have to point that out. Did you bet anything? What did you bet so far?
So early in the cycle, I got a decent, nothing to write home about, stake on, over offensive players when it was like 19 and a half and 20. And that was absurd. Yeah. And then late in the cycle, a place that we don't want to rub this in their face. Cause I honestly, I'm hemorrhaging money there right now anyway. So they're getting the better of me, but, there was a specific shop that let correlated parlays up for an awfully long time. And so I came back the other way and I now very, very much would love to see 21 offensive players and 11 defensive players. That would be just chef's kiss, of a first round. And I think, you know, you look at, you know, who are the risers right now in the bottom half of the first round. I think it's a lot of cornerbacks. I think there's potentially some, you know, defensive linemen who, you know, are going to be targeted by those teams late. And I think some of the, you know, kind of early, or, you know, some of the early mocks that you had consistent names from the offensive line who were hitting the board in the 20s and in the early 30s. A lot of those guys look like they're sliding right now. So I think you could have this shift where more cornerbacks than expected, more defensive linemen expected, fewer offensive linemen than expected. And if to get the offensive players over right now, you're going to need 5 quarterbacks and you're going to need somebody to take a shot on a wide receiver before they are, you know, realistically, you know, slotted to go. So could happen. But I ultimately think that it's set up now well for teams in the bottom half of the draft who have any interest in, you know, kind of getting a blue chip player on defense are going to have their pick of the litter.
May that book you refer to continue to have the opening glitch of allowing us to parlay correlated NFL draft props each and every year. We got to run. But in general, you feel like you will have less on this than previous drafts. Is that what I'm getting?
As of this moment, I mean, the feeding frenzy at Circa yesterday was crazy because, number one, like, you know, credit to them for going to the trouble of price discovery. Like, that was good old fashioned price discovery if you've ever seen it. And considering what the limits were, I kind of wish there would have been somebody who was available in market wherever they were to just kind of hold some of those prices in place until they were more widely available. So be it. The moves were hilarious. I think ultimately what the current numbers at Circa aren't really kind of inspiring me to go to get on a plane and fly to Vegas, I guess.
Okay. Well said. Drew, thanks for the extra segment. We appreciate a lot to get to today with the NBA playoffs and the draft. Thank you,
absolutely,
sir.
Best of luck in the playoffs, man.
Drew Dinsick, at @whale_capper. Very transparent, very honest in much of what he said, too. Not his greatest stretch of betting, and he's front and center about it. But all it takes is one event to turn it all around.
That's right.
We'll come back. Champions League with Paul Carr on the other side. Kelly and I got more in NFL draft as well.